You have to stop taking God for granted. And what he's doing in your life, you can actually miss a moment. You can miss it. God could move in the prayer. It's not always in the preaching. The preacher could be off that day. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. The preacher could have missed it that day. God could have spoke to you through the greeter at the door. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. It could have been in the handshake or the hug that you needed. That's where your healing could have taken place. But because you disregard all of those things and think it's going to happen in the preaching is just an echo of what God has been trying to show you and tell you all week long. That's all it is. And I don't want you to miss moments in God. And they are nuanced. They're not thunderous moments. No, you don't hear me. They ain't coming with no boom. They just walk past you. And you don't even know that you're in a moment because you're insensitive to how God works. God always works through people. Y'all don't want to hear me. I know you don't like him, but that's how he works. I want to take you to Luke 9. I want to take you to the end of the chapter, 57th verse. Yeah. Luke 9, 57 says these words. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, speaking of Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus responded and said, foxes have holes, they have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Yeah. And he said to another man, follow me. Oh, listen intently. Follow me. So here's the second person that he encounters on that road. And when he encounters that person, Jesus now says to the man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Yeah. Let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want you to go ahead over to chapter 10. Verse 1, which is the very next page, go to Luke 10, verse 1, and the Bible says, after this, yeah, I know we're a little discombobulated because you didn't get your little praise song before I got up here and preach. But I need you to listen to what this just said. After this, the Lord appointed, after this, after the journey on the road and the invitation to the three men, the Lord appointed 72 others. After the invitation that they didn't accept, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. I want to preach to you from the subject entitled, What's on the Other Side? Father, we thank you for this moment. It is a divine moment. It is a divine appointment. So, Father, I pray that you speak to us with divine clarity, a word that will change everything. Father, we don't want to miss our moment. We want to step into the micro moment you have for us, the opportunity that we've been waiting for, the moment to become all that we knew that we were, and the process that we had to take to discover it. Now it's on us, and we want to step into it. So, Father, we have to become curious and ask ourselves, what's on the other side? So, Father, as you speak to us, speak to us, touch our hearts, open our ears so that we can hear what you're trying to tell us. Because if we miss it, you're going to move on. And we're going to miss the opportunity, oh God, to be a part of a kingdom movement. So, Father, we thank you for setting our hearts and minds right. Do it by your Spirit. We welcome your presence in this place. We bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit, and we say, God, have your way. Do what only you can do in Jesus' name. If you agree, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, and ask them the question, what's on the other side? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What's on the other side? My message is a question. It's a question. It's not rhetorical. I have an answer for you. But before I can give you an answer, I have to take you on a little journey. You have to ask yourself the question, what's on the other side? Jesus came to his disciples one day and said, let's get in a boat and let's go to the other side. As they did so, a storm arose. And when the storm arose, Jesus was in the stern of the boat sleeping. And of course, the disciples, being seasoned fishermen and professionals, did not know how to deal with this particular storm for some odd reason, only because they were going to the other side. It wasn't the storm in and of itself that they had a problem with. It was the destination in which they were traveling that they had difficulty understanding. They had a bit of uncertainty and consternation around the fact that they were going somewhere they had never been before. And because they were going somewhere that they had never been before, an average storm got them believing they were going to die. So much so that they were exhausted by the attempt to try to make it through the storm. They were exhausted and gave no attempt to get the water out of the boat and simply said to Jesus when they woke him up, Master, don't you even care that we're going to die? Jesus' response to them was to get up and to speak to the storm and tell it to be calm and to be still. He did so, and when he did this, the Bible lets us know that the fear that the disciples had was still in existence even after the storm. So what they really were afraid of was not the storm. They were afraid of going to the other side. In other words, the Bible says that they were exceedingly more fearful after everything was calm. So when the storm ended, they were still afraid. And the reason they were afraid is because of where they were headed, and they did not know who they were traveling with. So when Jesus calmed the storm, the Bible says that they looked around and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? Look at your neighbor and say, do you know who you're traveling with? Do you know who you're traveling with? When you know who you're traveling with, the destination doesn't really matter. When you're traveling with somebody that knows every nook and cranny of where you're going, the destination does not matter. When you're traveling with somebody who has the capacity and control over everything that will come your way, meaning that he allows you to be in the middle of the storm and allows you to be in the middle of the trouble, believing that there's something that is being produced on the inside of you, then it doesn't matter where you're going. It really matters who you're going with. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, do you know who you're traveling with? Do you know who you're traveling with? Because if you really knew you were traveling with the great I am, if you really knew you were traveling with The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. If you really knew you were traveling with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you would not be freaking out the way that you are freaking out. Touch your neighbor and say, I forgot I was traveling with the King. That means he's got authority and power over everything that'll come my way. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He has ultimate and absolute authority over everything that comes my way. So if it comes my way and he allows it to come my way, he's throwing me a compliment, not a condemnation. If it comes my way, God is saying, that's how much I believe is on the inside of you, that I can put you in the middle of that level of chaos and know that your purpose is still going to be intact. And when you come out of this, you're going to come out stronger, bolder, wiser, with more patience, with more peace, with more love, with more capacity. I dare you to touch three people and say, when you come out of this, you're coming out better, baby. God is giving you a compliment, not a condemnation. Oh, you don't hear me. He's not leaving you. He's learning you. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, God, did you hear what I just said? They get to the other side, and on the other side of their journey, this is incredible. They have not gone to the non-Jewish side of the Galilee, and when they get on the other side, they encounter a man who was possessed with so many devils that when Jesus asked them his name, they said, I'm legion, for I am many. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. Stay with me. And so as they do so, Jesus cast the devil out of a man that society has given up on, a man who was shackled in chains, cutting himself, and all of the world didn't know anything what to do with this individual. And when they get to the other side, he gives them a lesson on how to deal with the devil on the other side. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a reason you got to go on the other side. Come on here. It's amazing to me that the first lesson that God has to give his disciples is how to deal with the devil. He does not really give them a lesson in miracles as much as he gives them a lesson in how to deal with the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to go to the other side so you can learn how to deal with the devil. You have to learn that the devil has no authority and power at all in your life. And at the moment you encounter him, you can say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I wish I had somebody in here. and you can deal with the devil. As a matter of fact, the Bible comes along and adds a little bit of flavor to it when you get real mature in Christ that you can resist the devil and he'll flee. That means I can get so strong in my spirit that nothing that the enemy is throwing my way distracts me from the purpose and the position that God has me in and the trajectory of my life. I will not be distracted at all. I can resist him and he will flee. That means I don't have to waste any energy at all, and I can keep my heart and mind free in a spiritual space so I can pursue the things that God told me to pursue. They get a lesson on how to deal with the devil. They graduate that day and learn that the devil is subject to the word of the Lord. Jesus cast the devil out of the man, and the devil says, listen, don't let me leave the region. Just let me hang around for a little bit. At least put me in the pigs or something. Don't totally let me have to go. And that means that he was so confident in his power and authority. I wish I had somebody over the enemy that he let the enemy hang around. Y'all ain't said nothing with me. He didn't totally cast them out the whole area. He says, go ahead and go in the pigs. And the pigs ran into the water. I wish I had somebody in here. And so in other words, he was basically saying, I got so much confidence in who I am and the power in which I hold that you can hang around and not affect what it is I'm about to do. Why are you allowing every little imp, every little thing, every little distraction, I wish I had somebody, to detract you from what God said you're about to do? As soon as something come up on your radar, a weather storm, a little bit of rain, y'all ain't said nothing. You were fighting to get up in here this morning. Oh, Lord, it's raining outside. I don't know if the saints going to see me this morning. I love Jesus, and he knows my heart, and that is all that matters. And I. The other side. I don't have time to tell you what that man went on to do with his life. And that man that God touched in that moment changed an entire region, an entire continent with his testimony. See, you don't know what's on the other side. And this is why the enemy is trying to keep you on the side that you know. The reason why he wants to keep you on the side that you know is because somebody is waiting for you on the other side, that he knows if you ever come in contact with that individual with your story or your ministry or your work or your effort, that you're going to change their life forever, and it's going to put a dent in the back of the enemy. And that's why he wants you to stay in your place of familiarity, because he's afraid that if you ever come in contact with the folk who God has called you to, it'll disrupt his entire kingdom. But I dare you today to say, I'm going wherever God calls me to go, and I'm going to do whatever God calls me to do. The other side is uncomfortable. The other side is unfamiliar. The other side is fearful. The other side is a place where nobody knows you. The other side, Lord have mercy, is the place where everybody gonna ask you, why are you going over there? The other side is the place where you have to make a choice to leave what's old and embrace what's new. I'm telling you, it's a hard thing to do. It sounds great, but it's hard, because the old season doesn't go quietly. It hangs around in your mind and in your psyche, telling you to stay here and be comfortable, because you know this already. You're not too sure what's going to happen up there in this so-called new season. And that sounds all cute and everything, but we done went through a whole lot to get to where we are. And since we went through a whole lot to get to where we are, we might as well stay safe and comfortable where we is. I wish I had somebody in here. And so the old season will start talking to you. First, you'll start talking to yourself, and then it will surround you with people who are afraid of what's on the other side, because they believe if you ever encounter something greater, you're never going to come back to them again. I would say, so it validates their own fear to stay where they are, and they hold on to you and cling on to you like a leech, sucking the lifeblood of purpose out of your life. But I came with fire in my belly to shake off every leech that has attached itself to your purpose and your destiny. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to shake some stuff loose. Some mindsets are about to shake loose. Some people are about to shake loose from your life. Some words that you've been holding on to for a long time about to shake loose from your psyche. The old season doesn't go quietly. It holds on to you. And it holds on to you because it says it's successful. Success is always the greatest enemy of your potential. Because success will tell you you made it. Look at your neighbor and say, no, you ain't. If the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, we never make it. There's always another side, regardless of what side you on. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you ain't arrived yet. You ain't arrived. The moment you think you arrived is the moment you are never going to become all that God created you to be. And so the old season wants to settle. It wants to settle because it's enamored in status quo. The reason it's enamored in status quo is because status quo says, I like things the way that they are. I've come too far. I've battled too hard. And I don't know if I have the energy, the gumption to go after anything else, because I'm now at a comfortable and safe place. I just got to where I am financially. And I'm afraid that if I start tithing, and if I start giving, that I'm going to lose what I got. So fear makes you possess. And when fear makes you possess, you have very little room for love. You start holding on to everything you have, thinking that they're all there is to possess. But if you ever choose to believe that God has something more for you, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, you'll start letting go. But because you don't want to let go, God has a way of getting you to the place of letting go. It's called a crisis. Isn't it amazing how most destinies unfold in a crisis? Nobody was going to move or do anything different until a crisis came. Oh, y'all don't want to hear what I'm saying. Oh, God, nobody was going to shift anything until some storm or some calamity, something that you couldn't explain, something that jolted your system, that got you back on your face in the presence of God again, got you back in your word again, got you questioning everything around you and folk around you. You don't know who's for you. You don't know who's against you. God has a way of shaping you and shifting you to get you to the place of saying, yes, Lord. It is not a game. It is such a problem. It is such a difficulty. It is such a dilemma that when it happens, you start questioning, God, where are you? Don't you even care that I'm going to die? And God begins to say, now we're learning what faith is all about. Because faith isn't faith until that's all you got left. Faith is not faith until all you got is the ability to believe God. You don't have no facts. You don't have no data. You don't have nothing but a knowing in your spirit. I've got to believe God. Everybody's telling you. You don't know what's down the road. You don't know what's around the corner. But in your spirit, you're saying, I've got to believe God. Where are the I got to believe God people? When you start believing God in such a way that you start tuning out all of the voices, including the ones between your ears. And all you got is, God, I believe you. God, I trust you. You wake up in the morning saying, God, I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it out this situation, but I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but I know you'll make a way out of no way. Father, I'm a little bit confused, but what I'm not confused about is who you are. I know that all things work together for my good. I know. And you start believing. Watch me now. And then when you start believing, you become belligerent with anybody who tells you it's not going to happen. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this thing. They start counting you out. And you look at them and say, oh, the devil is a liar. And you get a righteous indignation in your spirit. I wish I had somebody. Because you realize whoever counted you out can't count. Who am I talking to up in here? Whoever counted you out can't count. Oh, they counted on your ability and they counted on your history, but they did not factor in your destiny. They did not factor in that God called me to do this. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God called me to do this. This wasn't no good idea. This wasn't no goosebump on my arm. This wasn't no fuzzy feeling going down the spine of my back. God called me to do this. I didn't eat some pizza and wake up one night and say, I'm going to do it. No, before the foundation of the world, God called me to do it. He called me to do it when he knew I was a mess. He called me to do it when I didn't have my act together. I don't know who I'm talking to. He called me to do it when you said I couldn't do it. He called me to do it. So when you start believing, you become belligerent. Let me get out of the intro. You become belligerent with everybody who says you can't do it. Because belief is so powerful It shuts off all of the naysayers and critics. And it shuts the door on them so that when your moment comes, you're not afraid to be ready for your moment. It's not about getting ready. It's about being ready. We're not in a season of get ready. We're in a season of be ready. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Because what God's about to do is going to hit you so quick, so fast, you got to be ready. When that phone call comes, you got to be ready. When they find you, you got to be ready. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They missed the moment, Father. I got to say it one more time. I just told you that God is about to show up on you, on your life in such a way that you won't have time to get ready for it. You got to be ready for it. You're not going to have time talking about, let me go deal with that and let me go handle this. No, baby, you got to be ready now. You got to be ready now. The reason why you don't want to be ready is because of your old season. See, in the old season, you the boss. The reason you're the boss of your old season is because you know everything. This is why I switched up the service and said, I'm just going to go ahead and preach, because you knew they were about to come sing a song. So you trying to be the boss of the service. The devil is a lie. How you like me now? Man, I got something for you. You gonna come in here one Sunday at 10 o'clock, I'm just be sitting here preaching right here, right here on the point. There's gonna be five people in here and we're gonna be having church, all five of us. We're gonna be sitting right here having church. I'm going to dismiss at 10:30 and we're going home. And you're going to miss a moment trying to get ready. While you're trying to have your face beat, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You're missing God. While you're trying to pick out the right tie, you're missing God. While you're trying to get ready, you're missing God. I'm teasing, but not really. You're the boss in your old season. The old season is dangerous. Do you recall? I'm getting to the text in a second. Do you recall that Elijah was sitting there plowing his father's field? And God had given Elisha instruction. When you go past Elijah, throw your mantle on him. Oh, God. When you walk past him, just throw your mantle on him. He's plowing in the field. And the Bible says when he threw his mantle on him, he says, wait a second, let me throw a party for him. He said, give me one second. I'm going to throw a party real quick for my past. And I'm going to make sure that there's no return for me. Give me one moment. And Elijah said to him, don't forget what just happened to you. He said, don't worry about it. Stay right here. Hold on for a second. That night, he went and took all of his plowing equipment and the oxen that was plowing the field. He killed the oxen and he sacrificed them. He made firewood out of the plowing equipment. And he invited all of the people from his past and said, I'm throwing a party for my past because I'm never coming back to this place again. I dare you to throw a 30-second party for your past and say, I ain't ever coming back to this place again. Oh, I dare you. Y'all ain't serious. Y'all ain't serious. Yeah. If you really want to let it go, say bye-bye to broke. Bye-bye. Bye-bye to jealousy. Bye-bye to haters. Bye-bye. See ya. Oh, y'all ain't serious. Y'all ain't serious. You got to put your old mindset on the fire. Oh God, you got to put your fear on the fire and say, see ya. There was no thunder. There was no lightning. There was no splitting of the sky. There was no angel that came down. Just something was thrown on them. It's when power meets potential. Here's where I want to go. It's when power meets potential that you got to be ready. He already had potential. What he didn't have was power. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear. He had potential, but he had no power. Oh, Lord have mercy. He was stuck in his old season. And the problem with it is when it comes is that you have to now follow instead of lead. See, the new season requires a time of following again. But at least you're following in a new season. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, God. Because you know how the cycle works. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Then in due time, God exalts you. And so I don't want to stay there. And so it's when power meets potential. Now we're in Luke 9, and in Luke 9, power is meeting potential. Power is walking down the road. And the thing I love about this text is that it's not a parable. It's not some story that the Lord is telling. The Bible makes it very clear that he was on a journey. This is Jesus walking into Jerusalem, and he's about to go into his final phase of his life, about to die for all the world, and he's building his team. Look at your neighbor and say, he's building his team. He's building his team. He's looking for individuals who's got potential, but they ain't got no power yet. They're not recognized as potent. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Nobody knows their name. Nobody understands their title. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They ain't got no title, but they got function, and they got ability, and they got something on the inside of them that he's trying to unlock. And they encounter him on a road to Jerusalem, not a synagogue. Not a church, not a church service, just some road. It's so vague, it doesn't even tell us which road. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's just some road. And as they're on this road, they encounter power. And power walks up to them. And one man sees power and runs to power and says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus looks at the man, and he says to him, really? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to put his head. In other words, the cost is going to be so great. You got to make sure you're willing to pay this price. Ah, God. Because the price that you got to pay is not what you think it is. Look at your name and say, you got to pray the price. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The cost of following is being on your face saying, God, where are you? The cost of following is saying, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to follow you anyway. The cost of following is that, God, I have nowhere to put my stuff, nowhere to put my purpose, nowhere to put my destiny. My audience hasn't showed up yet, but I'm still gonna follow you, because in the following I'm getting prepared. I gotta be ready to be. I have to be ready to get ready. And so he says to him, no, you don't understand the cost. And when the man found out the cost, he got out his spiritual calculator and he said, never mind. Because when you add your spiritual calculator, them numbers add up real quick. Oh, they not gonna like me? Oh, they're going to talk about me. Oh, the folk I thought was going to go with me didn't go. Oh, y'all are too tired in here. The ones closest to me. That tape
is not your testimony. It's your trials.
That tape is your trials. Oh, I'm going to be shipwrecked, and I'm going to be left for dead, and they're going to throw rocks at me, and they're going to kick me out the church. The cost. No man builds without counting the cost. You want to know what's on the other side? A price. Oh, God. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a price on the other side. It's a hefty fee. And the hefty fee is you to die to you. The fee is yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the fee. You're the fee. No, ain't no need to go to the bank, take out no loan. You're it. It's going to cost you your pride. You're going to have to lay it down. Ah, God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's going to have to cause you to let go of what you had in mind. Y'all don't want to talk back to me at this spot right here. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the cost, baby. You got to pay the price. Yeah, give me some organ on that because they're not helping me at all. Just a little twang, a little something. Thank you. That's helping. Yeah. Yeah, my organist is like, I don't know about that. You got to pray the price. It's sacrifice. It's diligence. It's faithfulness when nobody knows. It's diligent when nobody's paying you no attention. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. It's not what you're doing in front of everybody. It's what you're doing when nobody's watching. The reason I can preach to you because I was doing it when nobody was watching me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I had so much preacher on the inside of me, I had to preach in the mirror. Y'all don't hear me. I would get up in the morning and just preach in the mirror. I ain't had no platform. I wasn't nobody's pastor or preacher, but I was young, hungry, and full of faith. And I would just get up and start preaching. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know what words to put together. I could not have told you what the epistles were. If you asked me, I would have told you that the epistles are the wives of the apostles. Y'all ain't said nothing. I couldn't have told you how many books Paul wrote. I couldn't have told you how many books were in the Bible, but I knew that there was something on the inside of me that made me so hungry that I started to eat the Word of God up day and night and day and night. And when I started to eat it up day and night, it was like fire shut up in my bones. And I would wake up in the morning and I would start preaching to myself. Preaching to myself, saying God has given us access. I got the might and the right in order to have authority. The might is my exousia. It's my power. It's my ability. It's like having a gun, but the right is my exousia. That's a Greek word for authority. That means I am deputized in the spirit to be able to speak to my situation. But if I ever got to pull this trigger, I got some power at my disposal. I got the might and I got the right. I walk in the power of the true and living God. I was preaching to myself like that when I was 19 years old. 19 years old preaching like that about the might and the right. Did a whole series on it for a whole year because I preached to myself for a whole year, so I had a lot of material. You preach one message and now you're an apostle. You ain't prayed no price. You ain't been through nothing. You ain't sacrificed nothing. But now you have the moral authority based upon your opinion of your gift, which does not make a calling. Character does. Y'all ain't said nothing. And now all of a sudden you want to go ahead and start your little work. Y'all ain't said nothing. And nobody sent you to do it. And the enemy is going to have a field day, and all you're going to do is hurt some people and hurt yourself and smear and besmirch the kingdom of God because you haven't paid by praying the price. Serving when nobody knows. Faithful when nobody knows. Diligent when nobody knows. I knew you weren't going to get with me on this. It's all good. But there's a price to pray. Not to pay, to pray. And you ain't prayed until your prayer is just crying. I'm going to talk on this side. I'm going to talk on this side. You ain't prayed until all you got is, God, I don't know. That's prayer. You ain't praying until you've been broken down like that. And then when God breaks you down, that's when he starts moving. Your brokenness, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, is the level of promotion for your blessing. There's a price you gotta pray. There's a promotion you have to receive. Come on, here's my points. If you want to alliterate it, here we go, Baptist folk. Come on, here's. There's a price that you have to pray. There's a promotion you have to receive. That promotion comes through your brokenness. You don't have to be perfect to be promoted. But you have to be mature. I lost half the church. Because it's going to be the level of your spiritual maturity that causes you to follow. Jesus comes to another man who now he sees the potential to follow. And he says, follow me. And the man says to him, let me go and handle some business. And let me go bury my father. And Jesus says something that you would think is awful to say to an individual who just lost a loved one. He says, let the dead bury the dead. But you go, you don't hear what I'm saying, and preach the kingdom. This is an indecent proposal. This is a problem. It's indecent because it's like, God, don't you know I'm in pain? And his response is, preach anyway. Oh, I'm about to dance myself. I'm about to dance myself. God says, no, but if you want to do this, you're going to have to do it in pain sometime. You can't take this promotion if you don't have the spiritual maturity to know you got to prophesy as you are commanded, even when you are in pain, even when it's hurting, even when you don't know how you're going to do it. You got to do it anyway. Because destiny doesn't come at a discount. There are no 2-for-1 specials. This ain't buy one, get one free. Y'all don't hear me. It costs you. It costs you. It costs you the price of prayer. It costs you the pain of promotion. Promotion ain't easy. It's painful. God. Because, God, people trip me out in the kingdom of God. Everybody want to preach. I'm going to say this. I love everybody. I do. There's a huge difference between pastoring and preaching. I'm going to get off of this for a second. But let me help you out real quick. You ain't preaching till all hell is breaking loose, and you can't tell nobody that the hell is breaking loose, but you got to go lift somebody out of their own hell. But God hadn't lifted you out of yours. That's how I know. That's how I know. That's how I know somebody about to miss their moment. So the pain of promotion, the pain of promotion, and the man did not want to take the promotion because of the pain that he was in. So he says, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. It's an indecent proposal. It's not cute. It's not friendly, but it's powerful. I'm almost there. And then the next man comes and he says, let me go bid farewell to my family, to my loved ones who are in my house. And then Jesus says something that is even more soundingly cruel. And he says, listen here, no one having put their hand to the plow and in turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you think about it, when you think about it and ask yourself the question it's not insane for these men to have made their request to the Lord. It's not insane. My father died. I want to know where I'm going to live and stay. Am I going to be taken care of? Is everything going to be all right if I go with you? Let me just say bye to some people and let me go handle my business at home and then I'll come. These are not bad requests in and of themselves. The problem then lies in their process. They wanted it their way. Don't miss me right here. They wanted it their way. They wanted it their way. They wanted it, but they wanted it their way. The kingdom is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. And a divided heart will always give the wrong answer when power shows up. And you can't have it your way. You can have it, but you can't have it your way. So they didn't ask the question, what's on the other side of this? And so they gave the wrong answer. Oh, God. And when they gave the wrong answer, oh, hallelujah, Lord have mercy, they missed the moment. They didn't want to pay the price. And they didn't want to endure the pain of promotion. And so they never got to the other side. And they didn't realize that what's on the other side is a praise of eternity on the other side. The Bible says after these things in chapter 10, Jesus now sends out 72 more disciples. And as he sends them out two by two, he sends out 70 disciples. And as he sends them out two by two, he sends them out ahead of him, the places where he was about to show up. And they were running back to Jesus. Oh, but I'm about to preach right now. They were running back to Jesus and saying, Lord, demons are even subject to our authority when we show up. They were so fired up that they had all this power, that now the power that they're operating in was because of their potential, and they accepted the invitation of Jesus and they stepped into a moment and they are excited about the power that they have. What they missed was the eternal praise that they should have really been celebrating. For Jesus said to them, do not be excited that the demons are subject to you, but have more rejoicing over the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Slap your neighbor high five and say, there's an eternal praise on the other side. When I accept everything that God has for me, my name is written down in that book. That means somebody's about to read about my life. Somebody's gonna know I made a difference. Somebody's gonna know I made an impact. When I leave this earth, I'm gonna hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Slap your neighbor high five and say, there's a praise on the other side. Look at somebody else that halfway looked like they woke and say, there's a praise on the other side. Why are you afraid to go to the other side? There's a praise waiting for you on the other side. Because when you discover what's on the other side, you will praise God like you lost your ever-loving mind. Oh, y'all are too tired up in here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, there's a praise on the other side. I'm gonna close. I'm gonna stop. I don't want to do it like this. I don't want to hoop you. I can hoop. I can preach. I can do all those things. And I thank God for the gifts he's given me. Listen to me intently, please. I didn't preach this word to entertain you. I'm telling you, God is on a journey, looking for people with potential. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking somebody whose heart is toward him. God is looking for somebody. But here's the problem. So is the devil. It's Mother's Day, and I know y'all wanted me to preach a little cute Mother's Day message. When Mary saw Elizabeth, the baby leaped in her womb. Somebody shout, leap, 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 leap. Okay. I'm under prophetic instruction to tell you, don't miss your moment. while you're worried about what's on the other side, yeah, there's a price to pray. There is a promotion, but it's pain. But also, there's a praise on the other side. A praise that will resound and echo in eternity. You don't hear me. How many people miss their moment? See, the people in the Bible didn't know they were in the Bible. They had no clue that this book was going to be written that was going to tell their story. And what it doesn't tell is the story of people who could have been in it. Have a small or large. You don't have to write a book to be a part of it. There are people in the book who believe God, who said, I won't die until I see the Messiah. A woman who said, I'm not going to let up until God moves. And the Bible calls it shameless audacity. She wouldn't stop. She pestered the master until something happened. And the Bible says because of her shameless audacity, she got what she wanted. And her story is in the book. There's a young man whose name is Jabez. We use his prayer to get money. God bless it. It's all good. But here's a man in scripture going through the genealogy of his history. Lord have mercy. Who was so tired of his history blocking his destiny that he decided to say, God, change my name. And in the middle of chronological order of a family, God interrupts the chronology. Y'all don't hear me. And changes his name in the middle of it. And his story gets added to the scripture. What's your story going to be added to? Who will ever know what God put on the inside of you? And you're allowing history and people and old cycles and environments to talk you out of the potential that God already placed on the inside of you. And so God comes alongside on his journey, trying to find somebody to give his power to. And three individuals turn them down. Don't turn them down. You know, are you sitting here looking at me like I'm crazy, saying, Pastor, get me out of here. I got to go to dinner with my mom. I understand that. But don't turn them down. Right now, God is saying, I want to release my power in your life. And if you want to receive his power, lift those hands, stand to your feet right now. Yeah, it's going to cost you. Yeah, it's not going to go down the way you thought it would. It's going to be frustrating and it's going to be annoying. It's going to look sometimes like it's never going to happen. Yes, every devil in hell is going to try to fight you and distract you. Some devils you know, some you don't. They all going to come out the woodwork to derail you so that you're not ready when power comes. So that you're not ready, that's all. Just shave a few moments off your life. Not minutes, moments. You don't hear me. where you miss that meeting, where you never meet that person, where you never come in contact with that opportunity. Just a few moments. If I can, the enemy says, if I can just get you to miss a few moments, I might be able to get you to miss destiny. And so he keeps you trapped with the cares of this world, living on the edge of tomorrow, worrying about this, worrying about that, working on all the stuff that has nothing to do with your purpose. Makes you feel guilty when you get selfish with your time. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here. The moment you say, I'm going to put my life in order, I'm going to get my stuff together, I got to be focused, I'm going to do it this year, then shame and guilt comes to find you. What about the kids? What about the husband? What about the wife? What about this? Mama got a mama and mama and them and daddy and them and grandmama and them. My question to you is, aren't you curious to say what's on the other side? That for just a moment, you got to put all that to the side and say, I can't miss this moment. I got to be ready. I got to be ready for what God is about to do in my life. I got to be ready. So I'm going to pray the price. I'm going to accept the promotion, because the promotion is not prestigious. It's painful. It's more responsibility. It's more diligence. It's more faithfulness. But I'm gonna do it all over again. And I'm gonna accept it because I know there's a praise on the other side. I know there's a praise that'll echo throughout eternity. That I shook the world with my purpose. That I shaped something. That I made an impact. That I made a difference with my life. That I broke cycles and I broke generational curses. And I got my family out of poverty. And my kids were the first of my family to go to college. I did something with my life. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost. If you think about the excuse that every man gave, it was about what's going on at home. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I know we got to go, but I want to make this appeal. The enemy has been fighting you at home. And look, I ain't got time for you to be worrying about who's worrying about what's going on in your house. We all right now got a mind our business anointing. Come on here. And God is trying to break some things loose, and he's trying to heal some stuff in your house. And he's trying to let you know the enemy is attacking you in your house because you're that close to what's on the other side. That's why he's coming after you. In your house, the way, come on, I know I'm talking to somebody, the way he's coming after you in your house. But the devil is a liar. You ain't even got, look, you shouldn't be hesitating. You should be letting the enemy know, no, you're going to lose today. You counted me out, but you can't count. You counted me out, but you can't count. You forgot if I can get into the presence of God, I can get the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. No. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's attacking you in your home. He's coming after your house. He's coming after your stuff. Being attacked in the house doesn't have everything to do with a marriage. It can be financially. It can be your kids. He's coming after your kids. He can't get you, so he get them. And if he get them, he get you. The devil is a liar. Not only are you going to make it to the other side, your kids are coming with you. Your stuff is coming with you. I came to prophesy to somebody this morning. The devil can't have your babies. The devil can't have your seed. He can't have them. He can't have your son. He can't have your daughter. The devil is a liar. I pray that the grip is loosened right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I wish I had some prayer warriors. I wish I had some prayer warriors. The grip is loosened right now in the name of Jesus. Back up off their house. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The blood prevails. I said 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 the blood prevails. The blood prevails.
The blood prevails.
The blood prevails.
The blood prevails.
The blood prevails.
The blood prevails. Blood prevails.
I hear you, Holy Ghost. Your house is blessed. Mama, your house is blessed. Mama, your house is blessed. Mama, your house is blessed. And if your house is blessed, your seed is blessed. Your babies are blessed. Oh, I feel the grip of the enemy loosening off your children. We call them healed in their minds. Oh, hallelujah. We call them healed in their minds, in their spirits, in their hearts. We call every marriage healed in the name of Jesus. Every financial struggle and hardship. Don't let that keep you from missing your moment. God can change your economy in 24 hours. I wish I had a Holy Ghost filled church. I said, God can change your economy in 24 hours. He can turn the whole thing around. I seen him do it. I said, I seen him do it. And if he did it before, he can do it again. There's a praise on the other side. I hear your Holy Ghost. So the Lord is walking and he's about to walk right past you. But he's got an invitation for you. And he's saying to you at this altar, follow me. Don't worry about what you're facing right now. Just follow me. Don't worry about what they told you. Just follow me. Don't worry about how you feel. Just follow me. Don't worry about what they said to you. Just follow me. Don't worry about the mistake. Just follow me. Don't worry about the future. Just follow me. Follow him. And everything is going to be all right. Father, I thank you for every house, every marriage, every situation, every calamity, every difficulty, every struggle. Every person watching. There's a praise on the other side. We're ready. I know things are messy, but we're still ready. I know we got some unresolved issues, but we're still ready. I know all hell is breaking loose, but we're still ready. I know attacks are coming from the left and they're coming from the right, but we're still ready. We're still ready because no weapon formed against us can prosper. We're still ready because 1,000 can fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it's not going to shake us. We're still ready. We're still ready because we know God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We're still ready. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, so we're still ready. We're still ready. We're ready, God. We accept your invitation. And as indecent of a proposal as it is, we take the promotion with the pain. We will pay the price because there is praise on the other side. Father, we thank you that we even made it to see the other side. And we give you praise from this point. From this place of uncertainty, we give you praise. From this place of not having nothing resolved yet, we still lift up a praise. From this place where faith believing, Father, We throw our head back and we shout hallelujah unto you right now, because we believe there's a praise on the other side. Somebody give them praise right now. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to hug somebody that's down here and tell them, get ready to see the other side. Get ready to see the other side. There's nothing our God can't do. Come on, hug somebody and say, get ready to see the other side. There's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing our God can do.
My God cannot do. There's nothing my God cannot do. There's nothing my God cannot do.
There is nothing, no.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
There is nothing, no.
There's nothing, yeah, my God cannot do.
Oh, 'cause I'm ready.
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 I'm ready. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Ready for my blessing.
I'm ready.
Lift your hands right all over the church. I hope this word bless you. I really do. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels camp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now into eternity, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
There's nothing my God cannot do.